is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The American economy. I welcome Elizabeth Peake, who writes at The Hill, a column at Fox News, a column much on Fox Business. Inflation is the villain. Where is that villain striking next? We go to Bloomberg, a headline in these last hours. U.S. labor costs rise by most in year in sign of wage pressure. Subhead, the advance in the employment cost index exceeded all projections in a Bloomberg survey of economists. Liz, a very good evening to you. No one likes to hear that all projections were exceeded when it is this unhappy. But U.S. labor costs are a direct result of the skill set being sought after by many employers, the want of employees. And at the same time, inflation comes from wages, is the theory. Now, that's an old theory, 20th century. Is it still applicable here? Do wage pressures translate into more inflation, not less? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think absolutely the answer to that question is yes. I mean, think about it. If you're a company and you have to up the wages you're paying your workers, obviously you're going to try and recoup that via price hikes. And, you know, it becomes a vicious circle. And I have to say, as you are aware, wages have not gone up as quickly as people had expected, given the fact that the job market is tight and that this vicious circle is in play. That is to say, companies are fighting higher costs everywhere. And by the way, it isn't helping the push for higher wages that you have governors across the country, legislatures, mainly Democrats, pushing minimum wages up. That means that on the lower end of the income spectrum, you've got upward pressure on wages because of those mandated increases. California is a good example of that. And by the way, also at the top end or sort of across the spectrum of middle class workers, you have Joe Biden out there leading the push for unionization. And frankly, I mean, I wrote 2 years ago that that was going to eventually show up in higher wages and higher inflation. And I've been very struck by the fact that it hasn't. And I think the reason it hasn't is that we've brought into the country 5 or 6 million people illegally and allowed them to stay. And they are now increasingly getting jobs legally or otherwise and putting downward pressure on wages. So it's a bit of a like so many issues, tug of war, the Joe Biden's White House against Joe Biden's White House. On the one hand, push for unions, tell the auto workers to really go for it in terms of big settlements, et cetera, which is being aped by other unions across the country and new ones like the people at Starbucks and others who look at those UAW achievements in terms of higher pay last year. And they're demanding the same thing. It's true of pilots, it's true of UPS drivers. I mean, there's been a lot of work stoppages and they've all ended up in higher wages. Again, on the other hand, the Biden administration has opened the southern border. And so you have a lot of, forgive the expression, cheap labor now in the country looking for work. So finally, I guess one thrust has outpowered the other. And so I'm not totally surprised to see wage pressures. But here's the bad news. We already have inflation, which is running hot, hotter than expected, 3.5% kind of numbers instead of 2. They're not all that high, but a lot of these annualized rates in March were definitely looking higher than 3%. So people are now talking stagflation. The first quarter did not come in terms of GDP growth as strong as expected. And there were some unusual reasons for that. But I was reading somewhere that mentions of stagflation in the press are higher than they've been any time since 22, which isn't saying much. That wasn't that long ago. But I think that is now a resurgent topic of conversation.
We've addressed Jared Bernstein, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, a very well-informed man who knows that the inflation threat is a direct result of the government spending. However, that government spending, it's an election year. It's understood as necessary and required of presidents running for re-election to spend. That spending, however, is the cause of the administration's poor showing when it comes to economic development. This is a push and pull, Liz, and I don't think they can solve it, if I understand correctly. They want to spend for votes, knowing that the votes, the big vote out there, is about their inflation spending.
Yeah, that's kind of a conundrum. I think the White House hopes that a lot of Democratic voters will not connect those dots between outsized government budgets, which without a doubt, John, there can really be no argument about the fact that we're spending too much. We're spending 5% of GDP right now. It should be 25% net, should be 21%. Clearly, we're above trend. Clearly, that has to change. And by the way, tax revenues are pretty much on trend. So taxes, revenues are not the problem. It really is a spending problem. But right now, as you say, we're in election season. And for example, the most obvious glaring example of spending for votes is on student loan interest forgiveness, which is the latest push Joe Biden has made to cut down on the burden of student loans. And, you know, it is ironic that that's a burden that mostly falls on the upper middle class or upper class. An awful lot of that interest forgiveness is going to families with really pretty high income levels of over $300,000. So this is just pretty obviously not something that is meant to help the workers and people that Joe Biden says he really cares about. This is basically trying to get young people back into his orbit. And, you know, to forgive him for pursuing or to supporting Israel's war in Gaza. So it's a complicated thing, and they've kind of brought it on themselves. I 100% agree with you.
The Federal Reserve, it's playing a fun game. 7 cuts at the end of 23, then 3 cuts, then 1 cut. Now, Liz, I can't find a cut anywhere, but I also switch over to the other metaphor, hard landing, soft landing, no landing. Where are we, Liz? I'm falling behind in the trendy thing to say.
Well, so the argument for a soft landing is that the consumer continues to spend. And you and I and many others have been watching like a hawk for indications that the consumer is running out of gas. And why would that happen? Number one, because there was all this accumulated savings because of COVID relief payments. And that savings bubble is depleted. An awful lot of evidence is out there that, in fact, that bubble is depleted. It would also come about because all of a sudden the jobs picture isn't quite as strong. Well, again, there's indications that the job market is a little softer. The quits rate kind of indicates that. There are other indicators that the job market is softening. So people become a little less confident. Consumer confidence has begun to trail down again. So I would think that we will see some pullback in consumer spending over the next 3 or 4 months. I have to say, it hasn't happened yet. All the current numbers are still very strong. But when you see credit card debt piling up, and the cost of that credit card debt, John, is like 25% for a lot of borrowers, that is huge. And nobody wants to incur that debt. So I think what's happening literally is that spending habits have to change. It's very hard to do that. If you're used to spending at a certain level, you're used to going out to eat 3 times a week or whatever the indication is, all of a sudden having to pull in your horns is no fun. And no one really wants to do that. It takes a crisis like losing your job, maybe having your rent go up 20%, whatever. But I just can't help but think that that's not going to show up in the next few months. And again, particularly if the job market begins to fall away. And I think that's happening.
The column they write for Fox News, I've been struggling here to put the word regulation together with the word apocalypse. I can't do it. Okay, so I give up. Regulation, apocalypse, 2 different words come together in the list of 12 details. You show that the administration is regulating as no one has ever regulated before, down to reducing sugar and salt and revamp of school lunch mandates. Liz, have they got a lot of time on their hands? Is that how they're doing this? Are these supposed to be vote getters?
Well, I think it's just the opposite. I think the White House is now in panic mode. Everything indicates that Joe Biden will not win in November. And I think they're pushing through this huge agenda both for vote getting, things like student loans, of course. Also, they're trying to remind the environmentalists that this is the environment, climate conscious president. And so they're taking millions of acres, tens of millions of acres out of play in the National Petroleum Reserve. They're doing all kinds of things to shore up their environmental and climate bona fides. But at the same time, John, some of this stuff is just crazy making. And the FTC is a really good example. They are on a roll. Lina Khan, the head of that agency, is a true ideologue. Everyone knows she is. And she's pursuing not only blocking mergers like Tapestry's acquisition of Capri, which is being blocked on truly absurd lines, but big is bad for the FTC, so they're doing it anyway. But she's also going after other things in her orbit, like getting rid of non-compete clauses. Now, you know, that's a really major change in the way an awful lot of industries operate. And yet you have this sort of, I don't know, you know, wicked witch thing with a wand. And she's just sort of tapping that in, tapping industry and saying, no, we're going to change how you do business. To what end? I mean, it's really unclear to me that that impacts many people that this administration hopes to. I mean, I don't think that's a vote getter. I don't really know why they're pursuing this. But again, it's sort of a progressive itch that needs to be scratched. It's a Bernie Sanders issue or an Elizabeth Warren issue. And there's a whole host of these things that have all of a sudden come tumbling out of the White House. And I honestly think it's because they are worried that they're just not going to have time to finish what they started.
So these are not vote, the salt and sugar are not vote getters. They're the idea that
I don't think so.
You can put this
unless school children are voting, which I hope they're not doing.
Elizabeth Peake writing at the Fox News, a long list. Some of these are truly surprising. Some of them make sense about energy. The salt and sugar thing jumped out at me. Good heavens. We're going to turn to another part of schooling, which is college campuses right now in the beautiful spring weather here in the New England East Coast. And yet, this is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Battle.